welcome to this Sunday morning meeting podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Paul Abel.
God's good. What an amazing weekend we had last weekend. Thanks everybody that took part, made it happen. It was brilliant. It was particularly brilliant for you, wasn't it, Tony? What particularly happened on the Sunday?
On the Sunday, it was, it was just a fantastic weekend. It really hit home, everything. And you said something at the end, if anybody wanted to give their life to Jesus, then come and see you. So I did.
No, it was really great to have Tony come forward at the end. But actually, it was a weekend that was great for all of us in many, many different ways. Some of the most amazing worship I've known here. We had an amazing time Thursday night too, which was completely different to what it was at the weekend. And I just love God's variety. I mean, it was so different Thursday night. I don't know if I've ever known worship quite like that, actually. It was brilliant. It was very, very quiet, in case you're wondering. I've never known anything like it because we were so loopy. You know, we were swinging from these metal bars up here. Actually, it was quite a peaceful evening. But we just began to worship just after 9:30, and we stopped about 8:40. But we didn't actually sing any songs in all of that. It was just all in the spirit. So it was very wonderful. God is good. You know, you're a fabulous people. Yeah, you are. You're a fabulous people. In one of the sessions last week, it was the Saturday morning session. I particularly asked you to consider, those of us who were here, which was a lot of us, the question really, what is the purpose of this church or this fellowship? And then going on to the next question, what is my purpose in this fellowship? And I asked everybody from the first question to write it down on a card, because it was kind of a consultation, really, to see what God is saying to us. Because there's this activation of everyone that's going on, this activation of the body. For too long, we've had this kind of model of superhero leaders. And of course, I look great with my underpants on the outside of my trousers, but no. The day of superhero leaders that we all follow, all get direction from, all listen to, they've got it absolutely, I think, healthily, are over. And we're recognising that we're a team. It doesn't mean we don't need leaders. Of course we need leaders. But it's often our main role is to equip one another to do the work of the gospel, not to do everything. So I'm going to read some of these to you. Here's the pack of some of them that came back in, and I think you'll pick up the thread very quickly. The one on top here, I shuffled these a little while ago, so I don't know what's going to come out. Could be fun. There is one about drinking coffee. In fact, two drinking coffee, but I'm not sure that's our main purpose. To bring the love of God into Scarborough. There you go. Isn't that awesome? We are to be a safe haven for the community and to share God's love with the community, demonstrate who God is in faith, working through love, to change Scarborough for the better and the glory of God. Amen. Hallelujah. We are, or our purpose, a city of light upon a hill, salt of the earth, good leaven in the town, a spring of living water, a beacon, heralds of good news of salvation, being examples of life, a holy place of encounter, to be the fellowship of the cross, to be sending church to all families of the earth, to be ascending church, I guess that is, and to be dynamic and not static. They got vision there. That's vision right there. But you see, this is why it's important that we're all getting activated, because this is what's out amongst us. And it would be wrong for everybody to think that the vision comes solely from me or from even from a leadership team. God speaks to us as a body, you know, and he's bringing us together as a body. And this knowing what our purpose is vital for what's going to happen next, which is a little bit of what I'm going to explain today. The purpose of this fellowship is to bring life to Scarborough. Amen. Scarborough's coming up a lot in this. To reach the community, people of and making Jesus known, to serve the community and to be the light, salt and life. Light, salt and love. Excellent. I mean, I got so excited reading these. You know? And that's why I genuinely say, what a fabulous bunch. I mean, even if you didn't fill this in, I know we're all hearing God together. To change the face of Scarborough and advance the kingdom, to see faith working through love, to see people saved, set free, and equipped to live out Christ every day. Now, don't forget, one of the contexts of doing this is a sad one, in a way, in that when this was done on a larger scale amongst the church and the nation, the most common response was, I don't know. When asked, what is the purpose of this congregation, of this church? And they didn't know. And so this is really exciting to have a people that do know. You know, because that it activates you when you realize I've got purpose. Because if this is the purpose of us as a body, it obviously is, therefore, our purpose as individuals. But then in that becomes our specific, how that's worked out. And that's part of the adventure. You know, because we don't always know. We certainly don't know everything. If God showed us today everything that he has planned, we would probably freak out a bit. Because it would be so amazing and so unbelievable that we just wouldn't cope with it. So he doesn't actually tell us everything. And we can feel very inadequate. You know, I don't see how I could do that. But this is the marvelous message of grace and mercy, is that every single person is crucial. Everyone is part of the body. As we were looking at with Dave Thomas when he was preaching from 1 Corinthians 12. We're all part of the body and everything is excellent and is for purpose. Even and Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 12 that some of the parts of our body we keep hidden. You know, they're more private or less presentable, I think it said in the translation he was reading. And that's true, but that doesn't make them any less crucial. So some parts of the body you're never on show. Or maybe you feel less presentable. But you still, what God says is the less presentable parts we should honour even more. You know, and he talks about there being strong parts and weak parts and honouring the weak. It's exciting times. It's that statement that's over there. I am enough. You know, how God has made me for this moment right now, I am enough to do what God has to do next. He will enable me to grow in Christ. I can't do this in my strength. I am not enough in my own strength. That will lead to disaster. I am enough because where he's placed me by grace in Christ. And so we can feel like I'm not enough. I've got these problems. I've got physical problems. I've got mental problems. I've got spiritual problems. God knows. And he still says, you're fabulous. Sounds a bit like Strictly there. Just imagine God as one of the judges. Fabulous, darling. Not sure that's how God speaks, but you never know. The purpose of this body is to share the love of Jesus with people and see them saved and set free, to impact the community and the region and to other nations. Hey, that one's expanding out. Hallelujah. I think that's true. It's not just Scarborough, you know. Obviously, we have a key role here in Scarborough, but it's beyond. We don't all live in Scarborough, and that's very deliberate of God. To reveal the presence of glory of God to all who come here. To train and equip others to share the good news with others. To love all unconditionally. To give without measure to all who are in need. Excellent, isn't it? Impact the community with the love of Christ through serving and fellowship. To bring healing and deliverance. To draw people closer to God. To nurture, to feed and be fed. Intimacy. To teach. I can't read the next bit. The purpose of this fellowship is to welcome new people and current people. Good. It's nice to welcome one another, even though we've been around a while, isn't it? Yeah. I'm not talking to you. You've been here 9 years. I only talk to people who've been here less than 9 months. Make them feel accepted, because they are, whatever background they come from, and bring them into a relationship with Jesus. To advance the kingdom of God, and I'm not going to read all of them in case is he really going to go through the whole stack? Well, maybe. No, to advance the kingdom of God and give glory to God through serving and loving others, being a friend in the community through the power of the Holy Spirit. Aren't these great? This is our church. This is not the preacher standing up here saying this is what we've got to be. This is what people are saying we are. Of course, we've got lots to learn. You know? To share the love of Jesus in a way that means something to the outside world so they get it. I like that. That's very good, that. And one person asked a question on theirs. They just said, I can't remember exactly how it's phrased, but it was the gist of, they'd got the purpose of the church, this church, and they said, is it not the purpose of all the church? And I think that's a really good question to ask. It's a good question to discuss. You know, I don't think I could give an answer. Maybe I will give an answer in one way, but there's not an answer. That's it. That's what everybody's got to believe. It's definitely a question to discuss. I suppose the answer, I think, is yes, and it's also no. Yes, the whole church is called to this kind of thing, but what we're discovering and hearing from God is how our purpose becomes more and more specific. So we talked about what is the purpose of this fellowship, but we also can talk about what is my purpose in this fellowship. But then, of course, that extends into everything. What is the purpose of the worship team? What is the purpose of the hub? What is the purpose of Little Builders? What is the purpose of meeting with friends and having a cup of coffee? It's not to turn us into sort of a mechanical, everything's got to have purpose or it's not worthwhile. Because sometimes the purpose is just to enjoy one another's company. You know, we mustn't forget that. At the end of our vision statement, it says, and have great fun while doing it. Sometimes the purpose is to have great fun. You know, we should be enjoying life. If we're not enjoying life, we're not doing it right. You know, sometimes it feels like that. Sometimes, and I'm not saying we don't go through tough stuff and there's real times of tears and sadness. Of course there are. But also, Jesus came to give us life, life in all its fullness. He does want us to enjoy Him. He does want us to enjoy His creation. He does want us to enjoy each other. You know, some of you are thinking, that's a miracle I'm going to have to really believe for. For the training and equipping of the people for action. Good one. Purpose of our fellowship is to be pillars of the community. Strong pillars so that people can feel safe and know that we can be relied on and true always to the word of God. To be a fellowship of love, but also firm but kind to be trusted. I love the way these are thoughtful. These are all from this fellowship. People that were visiting, I asked to put V's on and I did separate them. They're at the back here. They're remarkably similar, actually. There is a slight more emphasis on meetings, but I suppose that's because they'd come to a conference. I'm just so excited. I mean, what that's saying there about being the safe haven, that's brilliant. I was at Coventry University yesterday. They had an open day, and I really, you know, when you get one of those God nudges, you should be there. And I resisted it for quite a while because I didn't really want to go out because I was feeling I'd rather stay indoors. But I went. And pulled up at the university and I walked in. And I met one of our, he was one of the children that grew up through Youth Angels. He then became one of the Youth Angel leaders and he's now a street angel. His name's Tom. Many of you won't know him because he doesn't come to this church on Sundays. But he had gone ahead of me is all I can say because he was on the door and he said, oh, I thought you'd come today. I'm thinking, even I didn't know I was coming today. He said, I've set up for you to meet with some people. I think it's a good job I did turn up then. So he takes me through the university, which is a great looking place, Coventry University, Scarborough. And I meet these people, which is basically a lady who's the head of law and one of the lecturers there. And he says, oh, I brought Paul to see you. And they say to me, oh, great, I'm so pleased you're here. We were waiting for you to come. I'm still sort of thinking, I feel I've been set up by the Holy Spirit here. But it truly was. And Tom, bless him, at just by being him and expressing of what God's given him through Youth Angels, he'd really got that concept of a safe haven and a place for the community. And he'd really inspired this head of department and this lecturer by what he'd talked about the vision and the purpose of this place. So they really wanted to meet me because they were looking at ways to link with the community and how to draw us in. So we chatted for about an hour on different things, particularly the work of the angels and how they'd like students to be involved. They want me to go back in to talk to students. And they want to come here and see this place to see how we could be more strongly linked. So it really was a God moment. I even met the provost, who is the kind of chancellor, but because it's a campus, it's a provost. So, yeah, how cool is that? But the one thing that came over, what they had heard about And not just from Tom, but also from the local council and the local police, was that this is a safe place. And we're very blessed to have that reputation. We must guard that carefully and really thank God for that, because that's grace. You know? It's what we want, but you can't really manufacture that. You can just be that. And I know everybody, that doesn't apply to everybody at every moment. People can fall out with us, and, you know, and things like that. But that's generally the pattern. To build up the people of God, to bring wholeness to the body, to bring revival so that it will change Scarborough and the wider area, to know God, meet with God and make him known, to be passionate worshippers who create passionate disciples. That's cool. Reaching our community, this is the one that says, is it any different to any other congregation? That was how it was phrased. Reaching our, dare to dream, reaching our community with the good news that Jesus has made the way back to the Father. He has overcome and placed you in him. He is Saviour, Healer and Restorer. A few more. To reach out, you didn't say yes then. To reach out into the community, to encourage each other, to see the word go out, to build one another up, to be welcoming to those coming into the church, to be loving and accepting, to see people healed, released, set free, to be a place people can come to seek healing, etc. It's particularly the etc. The purpose is to show people the light, getting as many people into church. That is what I think this fellowship is about. To grow in the Lord together, to serve the community and to bring people to the Lord, to encourage one another in Christ, to love one another. I think this church is a lighthouse in the darkness of the world. That is why the door is always open to the local community. It is a haven where the community can come and see what Christianity is about in a non-threatening way and hear the gospel. For believers, it is a place of fellowship and healing. Last one, the purpose of this church is that you can learn more about God and you feel safe because you're part of a family. Amen? Sorry? Well, I'll leave them out and people can have a look through. Maybe we can put them up somewhere at some point. It'd be good to. I was going to try and, originally when I did it, I thought maybe I could draw some sort of graph of answers. But to me, the overwhelming thing is to sort of worship God, meet with God, and to make Jesus known in the community. I mean, that's what comes through again and again and again. There's an old thing that I've always tried to live my life by, which came from when I was in the Christian group movement called the Navigators when I was at university. Which is to know him, to know Jesus, and make him known. And that actually is what everybody is saying there, because it's not obviously knowing about Jesus, it's knowing him as a person. It's entering into that relationship, but it's a relationship that isn't just inward focus, but just turns you out. So when you've got a notice like this, there is an element of all of these, which is, like, well, what is the purpose of doing these things? Why do we do events? We should ask when we do things like Deeper and this and Way of the Spirit Bible studies and everything that we do, there should be an element of, well, what is the purpose of this? Does this fit with what God has told us to do? You know, and this one is for the light party. The superhero light party, Monday the 31st of October, 4:30 to 6, for 4 to 11 years, and there'll be a pound entry, but this is for your children, your nephews, your grandchildren, the children of your street, ones that you've got connections with, that you can invite in, because it will be an absolutely fabulous time here, the plans of what's going to happen. It says in the small print at the bottom, this is a party for those who do not want to dress up scary, because of course it's Halloween, but to have fun, come dressed up in bright colours or your best superhero outfit. This party is an alternative Halloween treat for your children. So, there we are. Now, what's the purpose of that? I'm not going to give you the answer. Have a think. Well, why do we do that? Are we supposed to be doing children's parties? It's good to think about these things, though, isn't it? Often the answer is, yeah, that's good. Sometimes God does something and you bring it to an end because the season is finished. I think a lot of things can go on and on and on because we do them because we've done them. And there can be good that's part of it. I was talking with Nigel at the beginning of the meeting and we were talking about how Way of the Spirit used to have Saturday teaching days. And we're not currently having Saturday teaching days, or Way of the Spirit are not having them. But they are doing the Friday nights. And you had a lot of people from other churches turn up Friday night, didn't you? You were really happy about that. But kind of that Saturday teaching day season went on for a long time. It was almost what Where the Spirit was about. But we're moving into a new season where that doesn't work that well anymore. But, you know, it worked before. Just because something has worked doesn't mean that you're always going to carry on doing it. It's always listening to what's God want now? What's God doing now? Where are we going now? So what am I going to... As I say, I've wanted to review the purpose. And I think that we should be ourselves in whatever we're involved in, reviewing what's the purpose of this. I do want to stress that one thing I said, though. Don't review it mechanically. I think this is really important. You know, some of us are engineers, and they're dangerous people. One, because they can blow you up. But secondly, because they're used to working with mechanical things and objects, and it's about, if there's something not working, there's something that you can find to fix it. And we're not a machine, we're a body. And sometimes it's much more difficult to fix a human body. Just talk to the difference between doctors and between mechanics. You know, it's not often as simple as, oh, I can just get a spare part and replace it. Even if you can replace the spare part, getting the new body to accept the spare part is another whole, you know, set of difficulties. Whereas the engineer just needs to know what size it is, who makes it, that kind of information, and it will slot straight in. There's not going to be a rejection problem. But we are not a machine. We're a body. You know, Paul uses, I think, that example absolutely deliberately. So we can't think mechanically, what are we about? As we think about the purpose, you've got to put it in that context of are people who love one another, are people who care for one another, are people who are reaching out with the love of God, are people who are having fun together. It's got to be set in the context of life. And life is energy, not just purpose. Life is fun. Life is thanksgiving. Life is joy. Life sometimes is struggle. Life sometimes is persecution and suffering. But always life flourishes and appears in strange places. You know, if you go to the Arctic, you know, you still find life. Such an inhospitable environment compared to most of the planet. And yet there's still indigenous life to the Arctic. That means life that began there in the Arctic. You know? So I want to look at this verse a little bit, and I also want to look at another passage. Where should we go first? I'm going to read the passage from Romans first, I think. I don't usually use the Message translation, but just today I'm going to use it because it just this comes across really fresh. This is Paul, St. Paul, talking about the body again. It's probably not worth looking it up because your translation, whilst meaning the same, will be laid out in a different way, as this is the Message. But here's Paul talking about the body again, and I think this is so good for us at this time of activation for all of us, and all of us coming to a point of realizing we all have a key role. So it's actually from Romans 12, and I'm starting at verse 3 if you're looking it up later on to study it. I am speaking to you out of deep gratitude for all that God has given me, and especially as I have responsibilities in relation to you. Living then, as every one of you does, in pure grace, it's important that you don't misinterpret yourselves as people who are bringing this goodness to God. No, God brings it all to you. The only accurate way to understand ourselves is by what God is and by what he does for us, not by what we are and what we do for him. That's so important as we come together. We're defined by who God is and what he has done for us, not by who we are, and particularly not by what has happened to us. We're not bound by our past. Many people in this room would have had horrible things. Let's just put it like that. Horrible things happen to you. But that doesn't define your future. That is not who you are. You have something so much more, and that is what God has done for you and who God is. And that's why we talk of, you know, being set free. That's why we talk of we sung about in the songs that my chains are gone. You know, it's talking about how God has set me free. Now, most people in this room, you often still have struggles. You'll have issues that go on in your in our minds. Our minds are great battlefields. But one of the reasons we stand and sing these songs is to enable us to stand in that truth and live in the fullness of what God has done for us. You know, Jared was speaking last week, if you missed it, of a biological study of how our bodies react to posture. And they found that different postures release different emotions and different feelings in people. So, for example, if you do this, or if you scrunch up, it releases sort of feelings of sadness and rejection. If you stand and you do this, they found, this was not a religious study, they found that it releases joy and happiness, biologically speaking. It isn't surprising, is it? Because God's God and He designed us. You know, I don't know. But, you know, once you just start to think about it anecdotally, you think, yeah, if I sit around doing this, it doesn't make me happy. So one of the reasons we usually on a Sunday morning, you know, we'll start off with songs which are happy and stating truths about who we are in God. Why do we do that? Because it enables us to stand in what we're singing. There are times when I'm standing there and perhaps what I'm feeling at that moment does not match up with what is written there. You know, and I sort of think, oh, and the enemy will come in and try and say, you're a hypocrite. No, I'm not a hypocrite. I believe that to be true. And I know that as I stand in that truth, my body will come into line with it. So sometimes the decision to do this is not just I'm feeling good. It's because I'm not feeling good. And I know the way to release happiness and joy is to lift my hands and focus on God. And the problem is that we live in a spiritual battle. So it's also very true that you'll get whispers in your ear about, you just look an idiot. There's no need to do that. You can just stand. You can just sit down and relax. And you can just sit in God's presence. It's completely free. But there is also something that will come upon you when you make a decision. It's like you take authority over the negativity that exists within our own bodies and minds and spirits and say, no, I believe what's written on the screen there, that I'm free. I've seen it in my life. I'm going to rejoice in that because today I'm free, even though right at this moment I feel rotten. You know? And you can have healing released, healing, physical healing, mental healing released in your body just because you decide to worship. This is the way God's people biblically worshipped. This is the way God led us to worship. And for, 4,500 years, we can record God's people, Jewish and Christian, worshipping the Lord like this. The main reason a tradition of praying like this came in, and I'm not saying that's wrong, was because when the Christians were enslaved in Roman times, their hands were often chained together, so they would pray to God like this. Because they couldn't spread their hands. And that's where the tradition of putting hands together to pray comes from. But actually, the model it gives us when we start, go and watch any Jewish person pray, and they will stand and they will lift their heads. Because this signifies shame. And in Christ, our shame has been dealt with. Sure, there are things that we could all be ashamed of. There won't be a person in the room that hasn't done something at some time, maybe yesterday, maybe even this morning, that they are ashamed of, that they regret, they wish they hadn't done. All of us. But Jesus has set us free from that. Amen. He says, I take that shame when we come to Him and ask for forgiveness. So that's why we can look up. Again, you see, it's what has just been said here. We take, the only accurate way to understand ourselves is by what God is and what He has done for us. Not by what we are, and what we do for Him. Oh, praise God that I'm not defined by how I live my life. You know, how many times do you make mistakes and think, I wish I hadn't done that? Or the other way, I wish I had done that. You can get that as well, can't you? Let's read on here in the message, because this is where Paul starts to talk about the body of Christ. In this way, we are like the various parts of a human body. Each part, and this is really crucial, this is really defining if you think about it. Each part gets its meaning from the body as a whole and not the other way around. You can only really know who you are if you are part of the body of Christ. Wow. All this, you know, finding out who I am, you can only really find out who you are as part of where God has made you to be. We are defined by the people around us. Who we really are is who we really are with other people. Isn't that amazing? How often we miss that. Each part gets its meaning from the body as a whole, not the other way around. The body we're talking about is Christ's body of chosen people. Just in case people haven't got what he's going for, he makes it plain. Each of us finds our meaning and function, or purpose, if you like, as part of his body. You know, people that feel lost, people wondering, what am I here for? People not knowing what to do with their lives. It's because we were created to be part of this body, the body of Christ. And then we're part of the worldwide body of Christ, but then we find our meaning and function in our own local congregations, in our own churches meeting in houses, our house churches or life teams, and our own groups and teams that we're part of. So when you're part of the Little Builders team, for example, we mentioned them earlier, or I mentioned them earlier, it's not just that you're doing it to serve, but you will actually find out who you are and the meaning and purpose in your life. It won't necessarily be, I am called for all my life to work with three-year-olds, but you will still find meaning and purpose as you work with the body of Christ, because that's how we've been created. We're not toes to live in isolation. You know, if you cut off your toe and stick it in a jar, it's not going to look pretty for very long. And it's rather lost its purpose. You know, even if you stuff it and preserve it, it's still rather lost its purpose. The body it comes from is going to limp. So, I'll go back to here. Oh, this is exactly what it says here. Each of us finds our meaning and function as part of his body, but as a chopped-off finger or a cut-off toe, we wouldn't amount to much, would we? So, since we find ourselves fashioned into these excellently formed and marvellous functioning parts in Christ's body. Now, take hold of that if you sometimes doubt who you are. Maybe you find it hard to relate to other people and you feel like, therefore, am I really part of this? Absolutely you are. You might find it difficult to talk to every single other person in the congregation. You're still part of it. You're still essential. And God will deal with these things in you. Just relax. It's okay. God will deal with it. But look, we are already excellently formed, marvellously functioning. Fabulous, darling. Let's just go ahead and be what we were made to be, without enviously or pridefully comparing ourselves with each other or trying to be something we aren't. That's so important. Let's just discover what God's got for us. And also there's seasons in these things. You know, if you strive to be something you are, but you're in the wrong season for what you are, you can be just as unhappy. Hi, Sam. Now, I'm glad you're here. Now, an example from my own personal life would be this. Back in 1993, Kate and I, we started a church in Leicestershire called Elohim Church, and we led a church for 4 years until God told us both that we were going to go to Roffey. Hello, marvellously functioning part of the body. This is everybody. Do you want to wave? This is what it's like to stand up here and talk. What do you think? Going to do it? Maybe. You never know. You haven't got that many words yet, so it'd be a bit tricky. Now, where's Mummy? Do you think you better go back to Mummy now? Yeah? Because Granddad's quite busy. So if we walk over here, yeah, we'll leave you with Mummy. Yeah? No, I didn't think you were going to be that agreeable, but... Later for cuddles. See, one of my marvellously functioning important roles is to be granddad. But so we led this church, and then God called us to go off to Rothi, which is Kingdom Faith Bible Training College. So we spent a year really preparing the church for that. That's what it is to be family, isn't it? And we went down to Rothi, and we were there for a year, and then I joined the pastoral team, which was a new team just leading the church down there. And then after a year, I was asked to lead the children's work. And I ended up leading the children's work. Now, as we'd driven down to the Bible College, remember I used to be a teacher and a head teacher. One of the things that Kate and I had very much said, God had spoken to us and said, you're to do everything you're asked to do. And we talked about it and said, yeah, we're willing to do everything. Except I don't want to work with children. All the time we were down there before we were sent to come and lead here, we worked with children and teenagers. We didn't even include teenagers because that was totally out of the picture. You know, that didn't even come into the thinking. That was so far off the scale of people we would work with. But we did. And initially, although I worked at it with passion and energy and discipline and great things began to happen, initially, I found it really, really hard. And that was because God had told me I'd be doing this, what's happening now, really. And I wasn't. I was the Sunday school leader. I was like, how does this match up with what God said? Actually, it was my training ground. It was a very special time working with those young people, most of whom are very significantly still doing things in God. It became a leadership training school for 7 to 16-year-olds or 7 to 18-year-olds. But God didn't just do something in them, he did something in me. And if I'd just realized there's a season for God's word and a season for God's timing and just let God be God, I would have been fine. But the struggle was against what I thought and what I wanted to do. And what I knew God had called me to lead churches. That had been very clear. I'd already done it. And God dealt with pride. It was mostly pride, really, and then pride. And pride. You know, I'd planted a church and now as a Sunday school leader, pride. You know, and I had to go through that to enable me to be more effective later on. So some of the biggest struggles we go through are because God is dealing with sinful attitudes in our own lives. You know, I'd been a head teacher, I'd run a school of 300 pupils and now I was running a Sunday school. Pride. Okay, admittedly, we went on to make a national TV program and publish a national magazine, and we did amazing ministry trips. But, you know, that came as I relaxed into what God had for us anyway, and because we just went for it. We just got this right. This is what we're doing. Let's run with it. I think that's the kind of an attitude, though, God does actually want amongst the whole body. We've got this. Let's run with it. So often we're waiting for a leader or somebody else to give us some direction, some vision, some people, some money. But how about we just run with what we have? Yes. You know, and we'll be really surprised at what God can do. You'll find yourself making a national TV program. Maybe. Who knows? But we can't look to church, we can't look to leaders for what God's going to do in our lives, because our marvellously functioning part, your fabulous darling, comes from looking to God and his provision and the way he's equipping us. And that's really what God is doing in us. These great adventures we're going to be going on right now come from being defined by who he is and what he's done, rather than who we are and what we've done. So, let's have a look. Where was I up to? These marvellously functioning parts in Christ's body. Let's just go ahead and be what we were made to be without enviously or pridefully comparing ourselves with each other or trying to be something we aren't. You will get so unhappy looking at others and wanting to be like them. You can learn from others. You can see others that are doing things that are similar to you and learn from that. But you are unique. This is the amazing thing about God. He doesn't do copies. Even twins, even identical twins are different and unique for what their purpose is in the world. And your purpose is unique. So you can learn. If you are called, for example, to preach to large groups, you can look at what happens here and learn from it, the good and the bad. But don't try and copy it. You have to find who you are. You can't preach like Paul Abel. So, you know, you can only preach like who you are. But the bottom line is most of us aren't called to do this. Or it'd be very noisy Sunday morning. We could all just stand round the edge simultaneously. But there'll be others who are called to teach in a smaller groups, and there'll be others that are called to go and teach in other countries. But it's discovering who we are and not thinking, I want that. We're unique, and that's how we're going to be most happy and most fulfilled, doing what God has got for us to do. And there's no status and no superiority. So you might look at, let's take somebody else. Let's take Colin Urquhart. And you think, I want to be a Colin Urquhart. You will never be a Colin Urquhart. You can only be you. But maybe you think, but that's such an amazing job. He's recognized by so many people around the world. He's listened to with such authority. I want that. But it won't make you happy if that's not who you are. And it's not superior if you're somebody and your role in life is, to be the buildings manager of the summit. That will be what brings glory to God, not you trying to be Colin Urquhart. And in fact, if this is your call, it's just an example, that is what will bring happiness, security, freedom and glory to God. Rather than if you try and be something that you're not actually made to be. So, if you preach, just preach God's message, nothing else. By the grace of God, every time I step up here, there's that prayer. I don't usually voice it out loud, but God, just let me say what you want to say this morning. You know, you don't want to ever add anything else. By the grace of God, I pray everything that's being said here that builds you up and equips you is something that's coming from God. And usually it's something God's saying to all of us anyway. 90% probably is confirmation of what God is already saying to you, because God is speaking to us all. If you help, just help. Don't take over. It's good, isn't it? If you teach, stick to your teaching. If you give encouraging guidance, be careful that you don't get bossy. That's so practical. If you're put in charge, don't manipulate. If you're called to give aid to people in distress, keep your eyes open and be quick to respond. If you work with a disadvantage, don't let yourself get irritated with them or depressed by them. Keep a smile on your face. This is so practical. Sometimes spirituality is made to be this sort of ooh-la-la business. And actually, being spiritual is working with a disadvantage with a smile on your face. Isn't that awesome? We get so distracted by, a holy person is like Simon Stylites, I think it was, that sat on top of a pole just meeting with God, apparently, for so long. No, that's not really spiritual, because he's missed out everything else we're supposed to be doing, which is you find out who you really are by being in the body. But it looks holy. It looks kind of odd. So people sort of think, that's spiritual. No, it's not. Making a cup of coffee for somebody in the hub and serving it to them with a smile, that's spiritual. True spirituality. Let me find where I am. Love from the center of who you are. Don't fake it. Run for dear life from evil. Hold on for dear life to good. Be good friends who love deeply and practice playing second fiddle. You don't have to be noticed. In fact, the greatest reward in heaven is for those who've served and were not noticed. When someone thanks you, and I think we should thank one another because it's honouring one another, it can almost be a little bit of sadness. It's like, oh, that's a bit more reward from heaven that's missing. You know, the truly spiritual people are ones who serve faithfully even when nobody says thank you. And they don't get recognised. But it can be really hard because we can feel used. But if you're feeling used, we're never really used because you can only be used if you choose to serve the Lord in this kind of environment I'm talking about. You can either choose to or choose not. It shouldn't be dictated, I do this because somebody says thank you or I get a reward or I get some privileges through it. Our true motivation is always serving God. Don't burn out. Good advice. Don't keep yourself fueled and aflame. You have to spend time with God on your own, with people, reading the word, praying, or you will burn out. Be alert servants of the Master, cheerfully expectant. Don't quit in hard times. Pray all the harder. This is what the body really is. Help needy Christians. Be inventive in hospitality. That's great. Be inventive in hospitality. Let's come up with new ways of being hospitable. Bless your enemies. No cursing under your breath. Anyone who went to that one? Laugh with your happy friends when they're happy. Share tears when they're down. Get along with each other. Don't be stuck up. Make friends with the nobodies. Don't be the great somebody. Don't hit back. Discover beauty in everyone. You can see why I read this from the Message now, can't you? Very well written. If you've got it in you, get along with everybody. Don't insist on getting even. That's not for you. I'll do the judging, says God. I'll take care of it. That would change the church everywhere, just that little bit. Our scriptures tell us that if you see your enemy hungry, go and buy him lunch. Or if he's thirsty, get him a drink. Your generosity will surprise him with goodness. Don't let evil get the best of you. Get the best of evil by doing good. What a fabulous passage. And I love this image of the body because, as I said, it's not a machine. Think of your body for a minute. Okay, I suppose in some ways your brain is kind of in charge. At least it's our brain that makes us think and takes us places, isn't it? But if you think about how your body works, I mean, how often do you tell your heart to take the next beat? Never. You never think about, heart, carry on, that's good, you're doing good. Yep, I love the way you're doing that beating, heart. Fantastic. Do you need any more encouragement, heart? Or lungs, keep breathing, lungs. Lungs, you need to be breathing. That's good, breathe a little bit harder. You don't ever tell your lungs to breathe, do you? Well, maybe you do if you've been running harder and you're not as fit as you used to be. You might at that point. The lungs and the heart get on with the job. They're essential to your life. They're essential to your body. But they're not always referring back to your cognitive thinking to check whether it's okay to carry on. This is a great picture of the body. In that, as organs of the body, as parts of the body, we need to get on with what God's got us to do. We are in submission. The heart doesn't say, I'm going to go and find another body. I'm fed up with this one. You don't do enough exercise. It stays in submission to the body, even when the body's not functioning properly. Even when the body's eating too many McFlurries and its channels are getting clogged, the heart never says, I'm off. Unless it dies, but that's another story. But the heart never just moves bodies. It stays in the body and it does its job, even though the body wasn't functioning. But it doesn't keep referring back saying, do I have another one? Should I carry on? What do you feel about it? It just, and I think this is a picture, you see, of what we're to be like as the body. We don't need to keep checking everything. We need to be in submission. We don't go off and hold a seance because we feel that would be a cool idea, because we know that's not really who we are. You don't need to check that. But you don't really need to check to do a Bible study with some friends, do you? Can we do Bible study? Yeah. You know, of course, this is all done in the heart of this passage that we've just read, of serving one another and building the body up. It's not talking about gathering your own private group, because that's detaching from the body. It's about building body. It's, does this fulfill our purpose together? But we don't have to check everything. The most delightful thing, as I feel as a leader, is finding out that stuff's happening that you had no idea about. It's dangerous, and it's a bit risky, and it's a bit chaotic, but so are bodies. You know, if you cut yourself and you bleed, you don't have to concentrate on that wound 24/7 with your brain to make it get better. Your body will heal, because the body knows what to do. And that's true of us as individuals and of groups as well. Sometimes we get wounded in what we're doing. We don't always need to go and check with the brain what to do. We know what to do. We know how to pastor one another. We know how to teach one another. We know even how to be apostolic and prophetic. And what's the one I've missed out? Evangelistic. We know. We can deal with it. Let's deal with it. I'm not saying we shouldn't have pastors, but we are all pastoral. Let's get this wound dealt with in the part of the body that I'm with. I'm not talking about independence, I'm talking about interdependence. Greater interdependence, but allowing the body to get on and be the body. How often do you think about how well your pancreas is operating? Yeah, if you're 35, it's been operating perfectly well for 35 years and a little bit more when you were in the womb from when it started. And you've never thought about it. It didn't need to go to the brain to check. Because the body gets on and does. It's in submission. It's not independent, but it's interdependent, and it has an authority about doing. This is why I started to refer a little while ago to life teams as house churches, because we're just the church meeting in a house. And we live out that part of the body as a church in our houses. And we've got some fantastic house church leaders. So house churches can grow and split. It's interesting how the body multiplies by division. There's a contradiction. But the human body multiplies by division. The cells divide, especially from when you're growing in the womb. If you've ever seen those films of the body forming in the first place, you've got a cell and it divides. And then it divides again and it divides again. And what happens is multiplication. That messes with our English, doesn't it? But sometimes those groups will multiply, the church will multiply by division as people form new groups. And groups just happen because we're doing life. We don't have to centrally check with the brain. Now, I think we can still talk to one another. We still need a good central nervous system. You know? But are you getting what I mean? Right. And this is why it's so key for us to know our purpose. Our purpose as a group, our purpose is as smaller groups and ministries, and our purpose is individuals, because then we can be this interdependent body, getting on with what God has given us to do, without feeling like I've got to check everything, I've got to know if I've got permission, am I in submission to that, because we know what we're here for. And then things are going to be so much more dynamic and chaotic. That's good. I want to finish with this bit here. I'll just give it a couple of minutes, even though it's a passage you could probably preach on the whole session. But I think it'd be good to finish with this, because it puts what I've been saying into context. It's this that you will have heard before, I'm sure. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Love God, love your neighbor, love yourself. This is our purpose. I like the fact that love self is there. That can get neglected. Love God, love your neighbor, love yourself is what will enable us to find true meaning. And interesting, isn't it, that neighbor The way Jesus explained neighbor from this was the whole parable of the Good Samaritan, which was a Jew, a Samaritan loving a Jew, which naturally they would have been enemies. This isn't just love the other people in the church. This is, if you want to find your true meaning, joy, purpose in life, you've got to get on with your neighbors, which could be anybody in the community. You can't be a Christian, even in isolation, in a congregation. If a church only relates to church, it will be sick. Because we're made to love God, to love our neighbours, and to love ourselves. And we're to love with our heart, our soul, our strength, and our minds. Which we'll do another time, because that reveals a whole new thing. But we will come to an end. Our hearts, our souls, our strengths, our minds. Go and do a Bible study on it. Because it's way, way more powerful than having nice feelings about someone. As I'm sure you know. But not the word love particularly, but what mind, what Jesus is saying in heart, soul, strength and mind. It comes up in all the Gospels. I think Jesus obviously said it more than once because it comes up in different ways. In Matthew, he says it directly. In Luke, a guy from the temple says it to summarize the law. Praise God. A little bit quieter than deeper. A little bit of sharing about our community and about where we're going. Amen? Well, be blessed. Have an absolutely awesome week and enjoy the adventure.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.